Good morning, everybody. I'll call this meeting of State Government Finance and Election Committee to order. Today is March 29th, 2022. And pursuant to House Rule 10.01, this meeting is being held virtually. Mr. Brinks, can you take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Present.
Nelson is present. Vice Chair Carlson.
Carlson's present.
Carlson is present. Representative Nash.
Present.
Nash is present. Representative Bonner.
Present.
Bonner is present. Representative Drazkowski. Representative Elkins.
Elkins present.
Elkins is present. Representative Greenman.
Present.
Greenman is present. Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn present.
Cleavorn is present. Representative Kosnick. Representative Mason.
Mason present.
Mason is present. Representative New Brindley is excused. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski present.
Pawlowski is present. Representative Quam.
Present.
Quam is present. Representative Drazkowski. Or Representative Kosnick. Chair, with that, we have a quorum.
And Representative Kosnick, I did hear him.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. Yeah, garbled present, but yeah.
I had a hard time with the unmute.
With that, members, the next item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes from last Friday, March 25th. Representative Carlson, did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move approval of the March 25th minutes.
Motion's been made to approve the minutes for March 25th. Want to unmute members for all in favor of the approval of the minutes, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The minutes are approved. Looks like we got a little bit of a light schedule this morning. It's going to get busier later in the week. We've got a lot of bills that, again, at deadline are getting referred to us, which always seems to be the case. So, hopefully we can get through these today and have an easy day this morning. Knock on wood. Anyway, first bill on the agenda is House File 4568, and this is going to the General Register. Representative Bonner, if you want to make the motion and then proceed with your bill.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to make the motion to move House File 4568 to the General Register.
Motion has been made to move this to the General Register. Representative Bonner.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. The bill before you today is bicameral and bipartisan. I want to thank Representatives Nash, Elkins, Lucero, and Noor, as well as Senators Coran and Wicklund, for the full support of the IT membership. I want to acknowledge an earlier draft of the bill by Representative Nash, which formed the foundation of our work with Minute, Commissioner Tomes, Deputy Commissioner Eichten, and our Chief Information Security Officer, Rohit Tandon. It is the recommendation of the Technical Advisory Council, or TAC, formerly the Governor's Blue Ribbon Council on IT. It is also likely to be the first recommendation of the newly formed Legislative Commission on IT once they're able to meet. This bill is simple. It designates IT infrastructure as critical infrastructure. It clarifies in crisp detail the inclusion of a cyber attack as an intentional attack on critical infrastructure. This distinction provides the state two main advantages. It allows the state to respond nimbly, and it would make us eligible for federal disaster relief funding to recover should an attack occur. The intent is to be laser focused on the preservation of infrastructure assets and benefits to our state and our citizens in the event of a cyber attack. The question is, why act now? First, our reliance on technology to deliver state services continues to grow, and our world continues to become more interconnected. Technology has the power to bring government services to the people we serve in a meaningful way. It connects people from renewing our driver's license to applying for nutritional assistance to paying our taxes. But with great reward comes great risk. The second powerful reason to act now is escalation. denial of service, and ransomware attacks on critical infrastructure targets are on the rise. At home, we've witnessed the hacking of the Senate website. JBS, the second largest meat processing company, was forced to shut down in the Worthington plant, sent employees home, resulting in lost wages and lost profits. For Minnesotans, it meant meat shortages and higher prices hitting their wallets. Nationally, the Colonial Pipeline shutdown raised gas prices. Major cities like Atlanta were crippled, unable to deliver city services, costing millions in cleanup and remediation. The Virginia legislature ransomware attack was perfectly timed exactly 1 month before session to inflict maximum disruption to the state and lawmakers. Third, on the world stage, states have received warnings from FBI and Homeland Security, alerting them that state-sponsored hackers in Russia have openly threatened to target all who oppose them or the conflict in Ukraine. They are one bad actor on a very long list. In the event of a cyber attack, we must act swiftly without hesitation to get ahead of our attackers by partnering with law enforcement, the FBI, and Homeland Security. When an attack strikes, there is no time for deliberation or debate. As legislators, we have a duty to our citizens and our state. We must lead, not wait for disaster to strike. Members, the time to act is now. And with that, members, I did provide five different articles on some of the events mentioned in your packet. And I do have our CISO, or our Chief Information Security Officer, Rohit Tandon, here to testify. I think you're on mute, Mr. Chair.
There we go. We have Mr. Rohit Tandon from the Minute Services. Mr. Tandon, if you want to state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair members. For the record, my name is Rohit Tandon, and I'm the Chief Information Security Officer for Minnesota IT Services, or Minute. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to House File 4568. Minute supports this legislation in recognition of the increasing and ever-evolving cyber threats faced by local and state governments. Minute is responsible for defending the executive branch agencies and the technology infrastructure needed to provide critical services such as health benefits, child benefits, transportation, or getting your fishing licenses, to provide a few of those services. The cyber threats landscape is constantly evolving and adversaries are increasing their capabilities. The governor's budget recommendations recognize the risks and includes requests to help us procure and deploy advanced cybersecurity tools and the ability to leverage federal security grant funding to address both state and local needs in Minnesota. The means and motivations of today's adversaries range from hacktivism to organized crime rings. There is also the presence of nation-state actors that want to build an offensive advantage or perform cyber espionage. In our interconnected world, an attack has the potential to spill over the borderless internet and leads to impacts in technology systems of unintended victims. Minute continues to make progress in improving the state's defensive cybersecurity posture. These threats target both the public and private sector of Minnesota, and the consequences of a cyber attack can have severe impacts to critical businesses and resources for Minnesotans. The legislation provides clarification to allow us to respond more quickly with the partners and resources we need at the table to address urgent and critical needs. This will be used if and when a cyber attack threatens life or property and local government resources are not equipped to handle the situation. Minute supports House File 4568 to enable the state to conduct multifaceted response efforts and coordination during a cyber attack that has the potential to cause harm to Minnesotans. I will remain available should members have questions about our current cyber threat landscape. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tandon. Representative Nash, you have your hand up for a question or a comment.
Comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Bonner, thanks for picking up the ball where I had carried it for a little while. This is a good bill. I think what the test fire did not necessarily drive home 100% was the potential for hacking by terrorists. That is a very distinct possibility. And when I drafted the bill years ago and we talked about it in the Blue Ribbon Council and we talked about it again recently, I think we all agree that this is a distinct possibility. And in attending the NCSL Cybersecurity Task Force that I'm on, this is something that is actually nation leading. And I think that this is a thing that Minnesotans can look at and be pleased with, because we've got sort of the passing of batons when you're in the majority and then you move to minority. A bill like this sometimes gets forgotten. This is a good bill and will actually make a difference. It's not really a matter of if, it's a matter of when we see a cyber incident. And I do this for my day job, and it is a very real thing. And the infrastructure that we're looking at defending is, in many people's estimation, no different than, say, a water treatment plant or a power plant or any of those things. So this is a good piece of legislation, and I hope everyone votes yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Chair Pawlowski, I understand this has some Chapter 12 implications. Do you want to make any comments on the bill?
The comments that have been said are the best. I think just proceed.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. With that, members, are there any other questions or comments? Otherwise, members, Representative Bonner, if you want to do your wrap up and then do the renew your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I could not have said it better. In that Representative Nash is 100% right. You know, while we certainly don't want to frighten members, we also want to be realistic and understand that there are very determined actors who do not take the day off that will continue to prod and poke at our defenses in the attempt to actually create disruption. And the best offense is always, the best defense is always an offense. And so this basically puts us in the right position to be able to be prepared and ready when and if that should happen. And so I want to thank Representative Nash and all of the members of the IT membership for their support of this bill. And I hope that we can get this done this year and position ourselves as leaders in the nation. And with thank that, you. Mr. Chair, I'll renew my motion to move House File 4568 to the general register. 4568 to the general register. Right, sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bonner renews her motion that House File 4568 be referred to the general register. Mr. Brinks, can you please take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson votes aye. Vice Chair Carlson.
Carlson votes aye.
Carlson votes aye. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner votes aye. Representative Joskowski.
Aye.
Joskowski votes aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins enthusiastically votes aye.
Elkins votes aye. Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Greenman votes aye. Representative Cleborne.
Cleborne, aye.
Cleborne votes aye. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Mason votes aye. Representative New Brindley is excused. Representative Pawlowski.
Aye.
Pawlowski votes aye. Representative Quam.
Aye.
Quam votes aye. Chair, with a vote of 12 ayes and 1 excuse, the motion prevails.
With the unanimous vote, the motion prevails. The bill's on its way to the general register. Thank you, Representative Bonner. Our next bill, members, is House File 4524, Representative Mason. And members, this bill is basically putting the language that we passed out of committee last week on the cosmetology into the bill that matches up with Senator Kiffmeyer's bill to make it easier for the two bills to meet up and go to conference committee. So Representative Mason, if you want to move your bill. And this is going to Ways and Means.
That was the, okay. I would like to move House file, and I just lost the
4524.
4524 to Ways and Means. And as thank you, Mr. Chair, as you said, this is basically the same as the 4390 that we passed last week. I do have an amendment that I would like to add. And the amendment just changes the board back to nine members, and then it keeps the license at 3 years. So I would like to move the amendment. The D1,
so Representative Mason moved House File 4524, and she's moved her DE1 amendment, which basically puts the language of House File 4390 into House File 4524 to match it up with the bill that's moving in the Senate. Questions, members? If not, if you want to unmute, we'll take a vote on the DE1 amendment. All in favor of the DE1 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The DE1 amendment's on. Representative Mason.
Okay. Again, this bill is based on the recommendations of a report done by the Office of the Legislative Auditor. It was released last May, and it addresses a number of changes to the Board of Cosmetology. Some of them would be creating a new hair technician license. Changes the number of members on the board. It expands the military license. Because we've been through this before, I'll just let it go unless people have additional questions. But I think this is important that we get this done. It makes things a lot simpler and reduces some of the licenses and fees as well.
And with that, members, we have two testifiers on my list. Representative Mr. Jim Hurst, if you want to, Representative, before Mr. Hurst, before you speak, Mr. Representative Nash, do you have a question or?
For testimony.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Hurst, if you want to give your name for the record and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. For the record, my name is Jim Hurst. I'm here today on behalf of the Minnesota Salon and Spa Professional Association, a trade organization in the state that has been in existence now for almost 100 years. We're celebrating our 100th anniversary next year. And thank you, Mr. Chairman and Author Mason of the bill before us today. In general, we are generally supportive of the bill as amended now by the DE1 amendment. We have long supported the concept of a hair-only license for individuals seeking licensure that is specific just to that aspect of cosmetology. Currently, people who wish to pursue cosmetology just for cutting hair must do the full gamut of not only hair but also skin and nail curriculum when they seek this license to just cut hair. Unlike those who wish to only do nails or just skin, those individuals can pursue a curriculum and be licensed just in those aspects, but there is nothing comparable for hair only. This is already in place in, I believe, 12 states currently, and that number is expected to grow as time goes on. I believe it's fair and equitable for those who want to only pursue hair to have this option seeking licensure. We also support the working group's recommendations overall and strongly hope that the working group that is envisioned in this bill takes up the matters that are listed. I will note, however, that there are a couple of things that I want to put on the record that I hope the working group will look into in regards to those three aspects. One is dealing with the special event permits. Currently, only managers of salons are eligible to obtain the special event permit to practice outside of the salon. We believe that should be opened up to allow all practitioners, all licensed practitioners, to be able to achieve that permit in the future. Furthermore, the recommendation we noticed also includes moving towards an endorsement-based system for licensure. We have long thought that this would be a much proper approach in the future, so that individuals who hold multiple licenses in the future can just hold one single license, but then with various endorsements reflecting those other licenses, rather than having multiple licenses, especially when they come due at different times. This would be comparable to one's driver's license, where you have endorsements on your driver's license. We are concerned that one of the recommendations from the OLA is not included in the working group efforts, and that pertains to the registration of unlicensed individuals performing events for simple hair and makeup services. The critical reason behind this is so that those individuals at least have continuing education on an ongoing basis. Currently, all licensed individuals must take 4 hours of health, safety, and sanitation every 3 years. And this, we think, is very much applicable even for the unlicensed people who are offering these services off-site. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will conclude my remarks. And again, we certainly, as a longstanding trade association, hope that we will be part of that working group as we advance the best interests, not only for individuals practicing cosmetology, but also ultimately, of course, for the health, safety, and benefit of citizens across the state. And with that, I will conclude my remarks and certainly stand by should there be questions later. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst. The next person I have on my list is Margaret Schmidt. I get the last name right if it says Peggy Schmidt, but Margaret Schmidt, if you want to identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, my name is Margaret Peggy Schmidt. I am the director and owner of the Minnesota School of Barbering and a member of the National Association of Barber Board of Examiners in the United States. It's come to our attention just of late that they, being the cosmetology, want to have a hair tech license. And if the representatives would kindly refer to Chapter 154 in our state laws, we have a hair tech license. It's called barbering. It takes 1,500 hours. It focuses on hair cutting. We could not possibly put them through in 1,000 hours. If we could, we would. And we would obviously financially gain by that, by pushing them through quicker and easier. We do not do fingernails. We don't do manicures, toenails, eyebrows. We focus on hair. And it's the barber's opinion, the barber school's opinion, and the National Association's opinion that we already have a hair tech license. So to start another hair tech license under cosmetology would not only undermine the integrity of barbering, but it's reinventing the wheel. We already have that license. We already have a barber board, which is very efficient, does not cost the state any money. As a matter of fact, if one investigates, the barber board not only supports itself, but it actually turns money over to the general fund every year. With that being said, we teach an enormous amount of sanitation, hygiene, especially microbiology and diseases. It takes 9 months, 1,500 hours, and we are a specialty. So I'm kind of curious to why this is even a subject at this point. It's not the barber board or the cosmetologies board, I understand, to protect the public from a bad haircut, but it is definitely to protect them in sanitary measures, and how that can be done by dumbing down the license or cutting the license, I don't understand that. I've been teaching since 1985, so I think I can honestly say that at 1,000 hours, we call it the sweet spot, and that's when the student thinks that they know everything there is to know. And by the time they hit 1,500 hours, they realize they do not know everything there is to know about sanitation, hygiene, diseases. So barbers of the state of Minnesota and nationally are strongly opposed to reinventing the wheel by enacting a hair tech license to go under cosmetology. We already have a hair tech license. I appreciate the chance to testify. I'm afraid that a lot of barbers are not staying on top of what's going on, but when they find out what's going through the house, it could be disruptive for no reason.
Thank you, Ms. Schmidt. Members, Representative Nash, questions?
I'll just let it go.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Members, any other questions? And again, this is to match up with the Senate bill. We went through a lot this last week. So, members, any questions? If not, Representative Mason, do you want to renew your motion? And give a brief follow-up?
No.
No, Representative Mason, I mean. Representative Nash. Representative Mason, do you want to do your wrap-up and then renew your motion?
Okay. Again, this bill is from the recommendations of the Office of the Legislative Auditor. It makes a number of, I think, reductions to the licensing, and it did add this one, and I think this will be really helpful going forward, so I'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
And with that, Representative Mason renews her motion that House File 4524 as amended be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Mr. Brinks, can you take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson votes aye. Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Carlson votes aye. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner votes aye. Representative Drazkowski.
No.
Drazkowski votes nay. Representative Elkins.
Elkins aye.
Elkins votes aye. Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Greenman votes aye. Representative Cleburne.
Cleburne aye.
Cleburne votes aye. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Mason votes aye. Representative New Brindley is excused. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski votes aye. Representative Quam.
No.
Quam votes nay. Chair with a vote of 10 ayes, 2 nays, and 1 excused, the motion prevails.
The motion prevails. The bill's on its way to the Ways and Means Committee.
All
members, that's... Thank you, Representative Mason, and testifiers. Members, with that, that's our agenda for this morning. Thursday, we have a big agenda, and just a note to everybody that's the agendas or the notice has been changed, but we're going to be meeting from 8:30 in the morning. We have up till noon. We're going to have the pension bill from Representative Murphy. We're going to have House File 4017, which will be the pension bill. The non-controversial, non-money items from the Pension Commission. And then we have a few other bills that morning. And so, again, the next couple of days, we're going to have a hearty agenda. So, members, if there's no questions, or comments from anybody? If not, we are adjourned for this morning. Thank you, members.